Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Argyle Chat, the weekly Argyle podcast brought to you by Plymouth Live Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Argyle Chat. Joining me today is Chris Harrington. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Jack.
Just the two of us today.
Yeah, but I'm sure we've got plenty to discuss and talk about after Argyle's first two or three weeks of pre-season.
Yeah, we've not obviously done podcasts quite as regularly as some. We've had a bit of time off amongst ourselves and other bits and pieces, but hoping to be regular again once the season starts.
All being well, we should be able to do one a week now. And it's getting into an important stage of pre-season. It's just under 2 weeks to the League One campaign begins.
Which seems crazy.
The World Cup's only just finished and we're talking about League One first game of the season at Walsall on August the 4th. But that's the reality. It's coming around fast. Argyle are in Holland this week for a training camp. And it's very close to being all systems go.
Have you missed the motorway over the summer?
Well, I seem to have been travelling around quite a bit. Not perhaps the distances that you and I are used to, Jack, but I think I did Tavistock, Torquay, Biddeford and Truro last week.
So you're warming up gradually.
Warming up, so not long, long distances, but far enough.
Yeah. We'll be soon reacquainted with some of the long distances, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So first of all, we've played a lot of games. Argyle played a lot of games since the last podcast. I think the last few we'll talk about, Torquay, Biddeford and Yeovil. Obviously Tavistock, another one as well. We'll come to Yeovil in a bit because I think there's quite a lot we can talk about with that. But first of all, overall, before the Yeovil game, what had you made of what you'd seen of Argyle so far?
I never try to read too much into pre-season games, good or bad, because they are pre-season games. And you never know if a team's had a really heavy training session on the day before an evening game, for example. New players, 10 new signings, bound to take time for them to fit in. You know, they're living in hotels, are trying to sort accommodation out, they're doing double daily training sessions. You know, there's an awful lot going on. The standard of opposition isn't always the highest, so you know, what kind of true representation are you getting of players? So you know, I'm fortunate, I've seen all the pre-season games up to now, so people say to you, well, what do you think? And it's a little bit of a boring answer, but even taking Yeovil into account on Saturday, you know, I really don't read too much into pre-seasons. I'm sure we can all think of pre-seasons when Argyle have done really well and started the season badly, and when they've had a poor pre-season and then they've turned up on the first day of the season.
I always say, look back to the likes of Jimmy Spencer and David Goodwillie, who scored hatfuls of goals in pre-season and it never really transpired into league football. And so, like you said, it takes time for partnerships to build, doesn't it? And that's what they're learning. That's a learning curve, and you learn from wins and defeats, I'm sure.
And there's a lot of players competing to be in the starting lineup at Walsall on August the 4th. And, you know, they've been getting 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there. Yeovil was a step up on Saturday, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, pre-season is about fitness.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And of course, you look at the results, and of course, poor results are a little bit of a concern, but it's fitness. That is what it's all about, getting the players as fit as possible so that come February and March, when the League One slog of all those Saturday, Tuesday games starts to take its toll, that's when you want your players to be really strong and still firing on all cylinders. And that is what July is all about.
I bet the weather's waiting for the football season to start before it starts raining again. That's what it is.
First day of the season, it's bound to rain, isn't it? I mean, it always seems to be 90 degrees on the first day of the season, but with the weather we've had going through this summer, you wouldn't be surprised if actually the season starts and then it rains.
But one thing I have noticed through all the pre-seasons is how grateful the teams that Argyle visiting have been on social media. And that's one good thing that Derek Adams has spoken about. He likes to try and get around to local teams and help them financially. It can help set them up for a season. And it's good to see that the clubs are appreciative of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good paydays for them. You know, Plymouth Parkway had well over 1,000, there were good crowds at the other games, Torpoint, Biddeford, Tavistock, all 500 plus. And for these clubs, it's a lot of extra revenue, stands them in good stead for the rest of the season.
And it's great for the players as well to be on a pitch with some of these players. You know,
yes.
You know, it's...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's not often you see that in the South West Premier League. No. So let's go on to Yeovil then. There's no point to put it off any longer. 5-1 defeat.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Was it just a bad day at the office?
Well, that's what we hope so. Again, you know, I start with the proviso that I'm not reading too much into pre-season games, but... Having said that, a 5-1 defeat against a team in a lower division than you, you know, you can't just brush that under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen. You know, they were 1-0 down after 3 minutes. They could have been easily been 2-0 down after 6 minutes. Jordan Green, who always strikes me as a very handy player for Yeovil, you know, shot into the side netting after making a good run. They were 2-0 down after 11 minutes. I thought Yeovil's attacking play was good. I mean, you know, on that evidence, they should do quite well in League Two. You know, Reece Brown on the left, Jordan Green on the right, and the two lads down the middle, Zoko and Jay Yassimi, caused Argyle all sorts of problems. Now, did Argyle turn up and were they complacent? You know, did they think it was going to be another stroll in the park? Were they undercooked from having not played, you know, a league team previous to that, whereas Yeovil were match sharp, having played Swansea, Bristol City and Bristol Rovers? Was that the difference? That Yeovil, I mean, when you, I think anyone who's at the game, I think there's 385 members of the Green Army, would have looked at Yeovil and thought, crikey, they look bang ready for the start of the season. They could start the season now, I think. They looked sharp.
Probably quite happy to after a result like that.
And Argyle looked well off the pace. Adams used words like abysmal and shocking, which he doesn't do very often. If at all, the players did look a little bit sort of, you know, shell shocked by what had gone on, and you know, it was a weird game. They were 2-0 down. They got back to 2-1. They'd hit the post. That the keeper had made a couple of good saves, and at 2-1 down, I thought, okay, they've made a really poor start, but now they're getting into their stride. And you know, I was thinking that they'd probably go on and win the game, but Reece Brown scored with a really good volley to make it 3-1 on the half-hour mark. And after that, there really wasn't a great deal coming back from Argyle. So, Derek Adams again said collectively he didn't have one good performance from his players. And I could probably agree with that. You know, defensively too sloppy. Keepers could have done better with the goals. Midfield didn't impose themselves. And the attackers didn't take the chances they got. So, it was a... It was a bad day. It was a bad day all round.
Huish Park, not a nice place to go to in terms of results if you're an Argyle fan.
Well, that's four times that Derek Adams has taken a team to Huish Park and they've lost three and drawn one. Now, when you consider the record that Derek Adams has got overall, you know, Yeovil are becoming a bit of a bogey side now. You know, pre-season doesn't necessarily count, but I do think Darren Way, Plymouth born, always makes sure his teams are well prepared and well, you know, fired up to play against Plymouth Argyle, and they were impressive. I mean, I don't think Yeovil were probably as good as they looked on Saturday, and I don't think Argyle as bad as they were on Saturday. It's probably a bit of in between. Well, we certainly hope it is.
But then, you know,
from an Argyle point of view,
I remember last season, the Checker Trade game, you know, I said that Yeovil, that was one of the best performances I'd seen against Argyle, and they still struggled in the league.
It's
a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
It's pre-season, it's so difficult to call. But I suppose the way you've got to look at it from an Argyle point of view is that if they'd sailed through pre-season and everything had gone well and hunky-dory, you know, maybe one or two issues that cropped up on Saturday would have cropped up anyway, but in a league game. And it's perhaps best to, you know, this is very much the glass half full approach.
Yeah.
That it's a good job that issues were highlighted on Saturday. They're in Holland for a week. You know, Derek Adams is going to be working them. If he was going to work them hard anyway, but I'm sure they're probably working even harder now after the overall performance. And you know, maybe in the long term, it'll have been a good thing for them to have a real wake up call.
Yeah,
that things are not going to be. They played against Torquay last Tuesday, and you know they passed the ball around. It was a great pitch at Playmore. They popped it around, played some really nice football. Looked a good footballing side. Should have scored more of the chances they created, but you know they looked a really good side.
Yeah.
So if you'd seen them at Torquay, you'd have said, "Yeah, it's going to be a good season." If you hadn't seen them at Torquay but only saw them at Yeovil, we say, crikey, we're going to get relegated. Again, it's we'll find out for real when the season, the league season starts.
Better for it to happen then than on the 4th of August.
I think so. I think that's the way you've got to, that's the way you've got to look at it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned there some of the teams that Yeovil played. Was it Bristol City?
The two Bristols and Swansea.
So, is there an argument to be made that Argyll need tougher games in pre-season? I mean, it's all well and good saying you want to go around to the local teams, but do they play too many of a lower standard and not enough at the standard they should be facing?
Yeah, it's a fair point, I think. You know, we've touched on it already that Derek Adams and Argyll do like to get around the local area and do their bit for the community and pay back to clubs and help them get financing, and I think that's good. You do need to have, though, I mean, what Derek Adams has done in pre-seasons before is build up the standard of the opposition. And, you know, Torquay was definitely a step up in opposition. And then Yeovil was a step up in opposition. And we know that they're playing three games in Holland this week. One against a German part-time team who you're not really going to judge too much from. MVV Maastricht on Friday should be a good standard. You know, their Dutch second division side finished seventh in the second tier of Dutch football. So they should be good. And Derek Adams did mention on Saturday that Argyll have got a third game. But it's a behind closed doors game, and he wouldn't say who it was against or where it would be. I suspect that one will be in Holland because they have had issues with playing games in Holland to the general public. So if you remember, they played Feyenoord, didn't they, last year? So I wonder if it's a Feyenoord type opposition game that they're going to fit in as well. So if they've played Torquay, Yeovil, and then Maastricht and a good standard Dutch opposition team, then they have actually built it up and, you know, should be reasonably well prepared. There is the argument to say, well, wouldn't it be great if you could play a Championship or Premier League club? But I think Premier League clubs have got bigger fish to fry in terms of flying around the world.
It sort of surprised me that, I mean, obviously Argon might not want to play at home, part of all the building works, so that's understandable, but it sort of surprised me that maybe Argon Cardiff couldn't play at Parkway and Parkway get some of the money, something like that. You know, Neil Warnock always brings his teams down here, and that would have been a good test.
And that's something they might have to look into the future.
It's tough, though, because then a few years ago they had Swansea, and did they really learn much from that battering against
Swansea? That's the other thing. You can play a Premier League or a Championship team, and then if you do lose 4 or 5-0, what do you learn? But then again, I go back to the point, well, you're better off learning things in pre-season. And, you know, good and bad.
The trouble with that Swansea game is they barely touched the ball, didn't they?
And it was a fitness exercise, and what did you really learn? So it's a tough one. I think hopefully with, you know, Yeovil and a couple of good standard games in Holland this week, that should start, you know, getting them, you know, up to speed properly for Walsall on August the 4th.
Derek Adams, I think, said to you in an interview that he had an idea of his first 11 for the Walsall game. Do you think that might have changed a bit after the other game, or again, do you think he doesn't read too much into it as well?
No, maybe slightly, but as he said, and I would agree with him, collectively there wasn't one good performance out there, so I don't think anyone that was, say, theoretically outside of the starting lineup necessarily improved their chances of getting in the starting lineup. You know, it looks like a 4-3-3, which isn't a surprise when you know that when you consider how well they did last season playing that system. He has tried different formations, all sorts of different formations actually, in pre-season. But 4-3-3 looks the obvious one. You would think it's going to be Carey and Ramirez with either Ryan Taylor or Fradi Ladapo down the middle, depending on fitness and things. Midfield three looks like Ness, Fox, and Connor Grant, who, you know, I've been quite impressed with in pre-season. And then the defence,
anyone's guess.
You know, you've got two right backs, two left backs, four centre backs. They're close. I mean, the way the teams have lined up in games, it looks as though it might be Riley and Sawyer ahead of Moore and Smith Brown, but that could easily change in these 2 weeks.
They're going to be right on their heels, ready for that place when it comes.
The four centre backs look pretty close to me. The two goalies, you'd expect Harry Burgoyne to be in ahead of Carl Levin, but they've both had equal game time during the pre-season. So
Derek Adams did say last year, didn't he? Say that Carl Levin would be number two, Cooper would be number three.
So it looks as though that's how it's shaping up for Argyle.
Any news on captaincy?
No, I mean, I suppose Gary Sawyer is the obvious candidate, but he needs to be in the team, I think, doesn't he? So Ryan Edwards has had the armband, Jamie Ness has had the armband.
Has Fox had it at all?
He might have done. Yeah, he might have done. But it's been a bit of a revolving issue, that one. So Gary Sawyer, I would think, if it looks like he's going to start the season. But we'll see.
It'll be interesting, won't it? Yeah. So before we talk about Argyle's Holland trip, into a bit more detail, I was shocked to get an email from our colleague Rupert Metcalf.
Yes.
To remind us that it's been 12 years yesterday since Argyle played Real Madrid.
Mm.
I mean, I remember the press conference when that happened. I remember Ollie falling off his chair, and it was all quite, you know, it was like a dream to watch. Mm. I mean, what was it actually like to live that and go through it?
It was all a bit surreal. It was in an Austrian town called Kapfenberg, and Argyle had to travel a fair way from their training base at Leupersdorf to get to Kapfenberg. It all came about, if you don't know, was that Argyle had booked a hotel in a place called Erdning, if I remember rightly. And it turned out that that was where Real Madrid would always do their training base. That's where they would go. And Argyle got there before Real Madrid in terms of booking it.
Unusual.
Real Madrid were very keen to go there and use the facilities that they were used to. And for Argyle agreeing to sort of vacate the hotel booking, Real Madrid have agreed to play in this game in Kapfenberg. So, we all turned up there. A very surreal day. Lots of Argyle fans had travelled overnight and during the day to get to Kapfenberg to watch the game.
Any difference or funny in terms of security because of the big names? Or?
No, not really. I wouldn't have said so. No. It was Kapfenberg. There was a few people around, but you wouldn't have necessarily have realised that Real Madrid were in town. It didn't sort of, the whole town didn't come to a standstill. And it should be said at the time, Real Madrid had the Galacticos, but it was just after the 2006 World Cup. So the real big names, Beckham and things like that, weren't actually involved. Although, if you look at the Real Madrid team that played that day, Juan Fran and Guti, and there's all sorts of people that went on and had very good careers. And
well, the picture on the back page of the Herald 12 years ago was Guti shaking David Norris's hand, which again, must have been Anthony Barnes, I think, was there, just Anthony looking Barnes. Quite. Yeah. You could tell by his face, he was almost pinching himself. Yeah. What the hell is happening here?
I mean, Argyle made the wise move. They printed a programme and they got some staff to bring it over. So there was an Argyle match programme. Fantastic. On sale at Kapfenberg. Rupert and I were over covering the tour at the time, as we did in those days, and so we travelled up and watched the game, and it was very surreal to see Ian Holloway in one dugout and Fabio Capello in the other dugout. Obviously, it was a lot more Spanish media in attendance than the Plymouth media corps.
Yes.
and it was very odd to see Argyle play Real Madrid. I can't imagine. We'll never see that again. I mean, I know
there was nothing wrong with it, but would you describe that as one of the highlights of your career? Was it good to see some of them?
I suppose so. I mean, it was a pre-season game and didn't really count, but you know, Plymouth Argyle playing Real Madrid is
an I was there moment, isn't it?
It's unique, and it was a decent enough game. Argyle gave a good account of themselves. It was only a late penalty from Baptista, who was at Arsenal for a while. Josh Clapham, I think. Oh no, this is where I'm going to get confused. But I can't remember who the Argyle goalkeeper was. But anyway, it was a decent game, a decent workout, great experience for those Argyle lads, you know, to play against Real Madrid. Hasniel Joffrey, I remember, was the captain that day, and he got to take out the pennant and swap the pennant around with Guti, sort of thing. So yeah,
somebody must have some shirts as well. Mm. You'd imagine.
You would imagine so. Yeah.
And again, some of those players that would play that never really had a career in football. Mm. It's incredible the story to tell your children.
Yeah, I played against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And I do remember, you know, afterwards, you know, trying to do the pre-match interviews, and there was Ian Holloway, me, Rupert, and a couple of others, and then Fabio Capello was about 10, 20 yards away, just surrounded by this scrum of Spanish media, sort of, who were in town. So, yeah, it was a good one. It's often in pre-season tours, you, especially the overseas ones, you play against quite lowly opposition.
Yeah.
And Rupert and I used to stand in fields in the middle of nowhere and watch games. And it was odd then for one of those pre-season tours to be stood. And the Kapfenberg Stadium was quite nice as well. It was a decent ground. And to sit there and watch Argyle play Real Madrid, that was good.
Hard to believe it was 12 years ago. Does that make you feel
old? Yeah, it does make me feel very old. Don't tell me how old you were when that was then, Jack.
I was 16.
16.
I was still in secondary school, there you go. And now we're both here doing this podcast.
Crikey, yeah, no, it's 12 years ago. Amazing. Time flies.
In a few weeks, we'll be doing 20 years ago.
It'll
fly by, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So back to the current day, and like you've already mentioned it briefly, you know, Argyle are in Holland. Mm. Derek Adams undoubtedly will work them very, very hard.
Yeah.
But we've talked about the matches a bit, but it's more than just that. It's about bonding as well, isn't it? And that's what the likes of Harry Burgoyne mentioned when I spoke to him on the press day. You know, that they were looking forward to that sort of good bond and really build a relationship. And Derek Adams has shown when he's taken players to Spain in January, you know, that really does mean a lot to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's 24-7 when you're away. And Derek Adams has been pretty meticulous pre-season in Dalton, winter warm weather training in Marbella sort of thing. And he's done that. He's got that system and routine he likes, so you wouldn't be at all surprised if they head off again to Spain you know, during the winter. Yeah, the pre-season tours just aren't about the training and about the games, like you say, Jack. The players spend 24-7, they're all there together. I mean, it is interesting that you know, talking to the new lads, you spoke to some of them, Jack, and I have, that they basically all turned up and were plonked in a hotel.
Yeah.
And for quite a while they were literally living and training together. Now they're beginning to find their way and go to their own different bits and pieces. But I think, you know, there's a bit of camaraderie built up already. So they can build on that even further when they're in Holland this week. Get three games under their belts. Hopefully a couple of decent games that stretches them, and they can put into practice some of the things they've worked on after the Yeovil game that they know they've got to improve on. So,
a odd scenario as well to have almost as many new players as old players.
Yeah, although for Derek Adams, you know, it's been a bit of a theme, hasn't it? You know,
and they've had whole weeks together now, haven't they?
We are getting used to those sort of picture, you know, having a media day at the start of pre-season training and lining up all the new signings, and you think, crikey, there's virtually a team there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's something that he's done before. You know, he's done it again this year. I think they have done a bit of sort of the bonding, you know, just by being in a hotel all together. But the more time they spend together, getting to know each other more on and off the pitch, should only help them when the league season starts.
And it's getting funny because you speak to former players, and most recently I spoke to Jason Banton, and he said, unlike any other club he's ever been at, because you're always around them, you really do stay friends with the people that you make more than he has at most clubs.
Yeah, well, if you're at a club in the Midlands, there's nothing to stop you living in the Northwest, living in the Northeast, living in London.
Go home again after training.
Yeah, and you drive, you know, it's not unheard of. A player would drive an hour and a half, 2 hours from his home, go to his club. You know, that doesn't happen at Plymouth Argyle. You know, pretty much everyone lives in Plymouth or very, very close to it. And so you see a lot more of these players. You spend more time in their company. You spend, obviously, an awful lot of time on a bus. So that's where, you know, everyone talks about team spirit. I can't ever remember a player telling me that they've got a bad team spirit in an interview. But a good team spirit is important in a genuine way for Argyle, because those players spend so much time together. And if they don't get on well, if you get cliques in the dressing room, that is a problem.
Must be hard to manage.
Yeah.
In some ways, you know.
Good man management.
Yeah. Well, just talking, we talked about you know, that picture that we always see of Derek Adams with all his new signings. Where do you think Argyle need to recruit before the transfer window shuts? I mean, Derek Adams said that he would like to sign one extra central midfielder. Is that the only place you can envisage someone coming in?
As things stand, I think, you know, if they get a central midfielder in, that would be 24 players plus the young players in the development squad. So there's plenty of bodies around.
That's a number. That's a number Derek Adams gave as well, 24.
Yeah. So a central midfielder would make sense, you know. I think just give you a little bit more strength in that particular area of the pitch. You know, David Fox looks fine in pre-season, but he's 34. Jamie Ness looks fine in pre-season, good player. Did have a couple of injury problems last season. You know, Conor Grant's making in one way, the step down from Everton, but in another way, stepping up into a league team and not playing development football. So, you know, it'd be nice to have one more in there just to add to that.
And when you're playing three in one game, you know, it's not unknown for two or three to be injured at once. No, so you need that backup, don't you?
No, so you need backup there. You know, you look around the rest of the squad, you know, striker is always going to be an area that you might look to do. You know, Ryan Taylor is back training now, so that's good. But, you know, he is behind everyone else. Freddie Ladapo missed the Yeovil game because of a groin problem. Now, Derek Adams didn't seem too concerned about that, and it sounded more like a precaution than anything serious. But if there was anything wrong with either of those two players that might sort of go into the league season and be a concern, you might need to look at that. And they're going to play 4-3-3 at the start of the season, I think. But they do need a winger who's capable of coming off the bench and making an impact.
I was going to say that to you. I mean, there's not been much movement in terms of wingers. Now, the likes of Greg Wilde and Lionel Ainsworth, And Joel Grant, intermittently, had limited time at Parks last season. Are they good enough, do you think? I mean,
well, Lionel Ainsworth and Gregoire particularly need to prove to me, to Derek Adams, that they can come off the bench and make an impact. And then if they do that on a regular basis, then they might force themselves into the first team. I'd like to have seen a bit more from both of them in pre-season to show that they're capable of, you know, becoming good enough for Argyle on a regular basis. I think there was the theory, and I'd subscribe to this theory, that maybe Matt Kennedy might return, and if Wilde or Ainsworth moved on, then Matt Kennedy would come in. Now, Matt Kennedy signed a 2-year deal with St Johnstone in Scotland, so he's not coming back. You know, you still wonder if Ainsworth and Wilde are not really close to the first team, whether
still time, isn't there?
There is time. Of course, you know, just a reminder, the transfer window this season is on Thursday, the 9th of August. So it's the Thursday after Argyle have played their first game and the Thursday before the Premier League start. So that's when you can only make permanent signings. Yeah. But then after that, the EFL clubs have got until the end of August where they could sign people on loan or free agents. So there is a scenario that a player or two could start the season, realise he's not anywhere close to the first team squad, and then might say to a manager, look, you know, might have a mutual conversation and try and... So the scope for change is, you know, one for one, but I think, you know, if Derek Adams could get a central midfielder and have a squad of 24, then that's a sizeable squad. And then you've still got players, you know, the younger players, you know, knocking around that, you know, to add to the mix as well.
So watch your space, really.
Yeah, I think until the end of August, you know, anything could happen. I mean, you know, with that loan signings means that you're going to get, what, 4 or 5 games under your belt. You know, come the end of August, you might have had a couple of injuries and things like that. And there might be a glaring area of the squad that needs improving that doesn't at the moment.
There'll probably be a fair amount of movement just after the transfer window shuts, because then the Premier League teams will have their teams in the bag, and then they may be willing to let players go out on loan.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't, you know, a bit more movement yet. Derek Adams normally has 2 or 3 loan signings, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And at the moment, he's only got one in Harry Burgoyne. So wouldn't be surprised if a loan signing or two cropped up at some stage.
And there's one more friendly when they get back. Is that a first team friendly?
That's Callington Town away on the Tuesday. That was the one they were going to play when England played the World Cup semi-final, it was, wasn't it? So it's the Tuesday before Argyle play the first game of the season. There hasn't been any official confirmation, but it's hard to see Argyle sending a full first team squad there, particularly if they play 3 games in Holland this week and, you know, just 5 days before.
That could be the biggest indication of what the first team squad could be for that Wolves.
Could be. So, it'd be interesting to see what team. But so there is a game at Callington next Tuesday.
It feels weird for you to say next Tuesday. I'm still in my head. It's still weeks away.
So we're getting close. We are getting close. There's no two ways about it.
So keep an eye on that. And just finally, a little off topic, not to do with Argyle directly, but what have you made of this ground set situation between Truro and Torquay? Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Truro Stadium for a very long time. They're now having to leave Tray Road. They're moving to Plainmoor. Understandably, some Truro fans aren't happy. It's a 160-mile round trip. Truro have come out today saying they are willing to give unhappy season ticket holders their money back if they so wish, and they're also going to try and do subsidised coach travel. There's a lot of Argyle connections with that club, isn't there? Well, with both clubs, with Truro and Torquay.
Yeah.
What do you make of this scenario?
Yeah, it's you feel sorry for the people at Truro City, because it, you know, however you dress it up, it isn't an ideal situation. Lee Hodges is the manager there, someone I know well from his time as an Argyle player. Still see him around Argyle quite a bit because he does a bit of work there as well. And you know, a really good servant to Argyle, and he's done a really good job at Truro. They had an excellent season last season, and they'd have been looking to push on in National League South and do really well this season. Now, whether this is going to disrupt the performances on the pitch or not is anyone's guess, really, isn't it? But some of the players there, of course, as well, former Argyle players. So, you know, you always keep an eye on Truro. Lewis Rooney's gone there, hasn't he? Jamie Richards is there. There's a few others that have been at Argyle as well and done well over over the years.
It's possible. We spoke about this earlier. I mean, a lot of the players are based more around Torbay and Plymouth. It is possible, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't feel for the fans, I really do. But it is possible that they could play just as well, or you know, they don't have to travel as much. It could benefit the team.
Yeah, and Playmore is a nice ground. We went there last Tuesday, and all credit to the groundsman. I mean, the pitch was immaculate. I mean, you know, true. Now, of course, you know, two teams playing on the same pitch in the winter, is that going to be an issue? I don't know. But the pitch at the start of the season is going to be immaculate. And, you know, Truro will enjoy playing on that. So I don't know all the politics and the ins and outs of it. It sounds like a supermarket is going to get built on Truro's Traill Road ground. There's been talk about that for years. There's been talk about a stadium for Cornwall for years. Nothing's happened. Truro have been a bit in limbo. Now they're having to go to Torquay for... It's just for a season at the moment, isn't it?
At the moment,
what they're talking about. You know, how's this going to impact Truro City as a club going forward, you know?
But financially, it must be tough. I mean, where are they going to make money over the next year? You know, it's not going to be easy.
You know, people are going to be concerned, well, is this going to be the end of Truro? You know, can they survive like this? I hope it works out for them. You can understand... why Torquay would do it. It's presumably extra revenue for them, so it's a difficult situation with Truro. It's a shame there isn't a ground in Cornwall that could accommodate
them. That's the thing, what is the alternative? You know, they've been told they have to leave the ground. I think they've been given 2 weeks' notice, possibly. Yeah. What other alternative is there?
Well, there isn't really.
Yeah.
Home Park. You know, there was briefly talk about that, you know, at one stage, because, you know, obviously Home Park's closer, but, you know, I'm not sure that was ever really a goer in recent times. So it's a difficult situation for Truro. So we wish him well. You know, like I say, know Lee Hodges well, and you know, hopefully football players can be quite good at ignoring outside noises and, you know, sticking together. And as you said, Jack, if there's a lot from Plymouth and Torbay area actually playing at Playmore, might not be a difficulty for them, but you know, you should always remember the fans, you know, they're the people that they're the lifeblood of a club. You know, they're there, you know, this year, next year, the year after.
160-mile round trip for a home game, it's a long way,
you know. And you know, as anyone knows that travels up and down, you know, it's not the easiest of journeys down to Truro, even from Plymouth.
Well, it's just one accident, isn't it?
If you've got to go through the Glen Valley or something like that, it's not an easy trip. And then, you know, even from Plymouth, it took me around about an hour to get to Torquay from Plymouth, and then you're adding on Truro as well. It's a difficult one. So I hope it works out well for Truro City, but you suspect it's going to be a difficult time for them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's it for today. I think next week we'll be looking forward to the first league game of the season.
I know, we can actually start looking forward to the Walsall game then, and it gets very serious then, doesn't it? So
back to the motorway, back to the old routine.
Back to the routine. So, no, we'll look forward to it. And, you know, it's great the feedback we get for the Argyle Chat podcast. We are grateful for it. We love the questions. So I think, you know, next week we'll try and get back to
normal routine.
And so if you have got any questions, my Twitter handle's Chris Errington 1. Jack, you are?
Jack First. Jack's J-A-K.
Remember, no C to Jack. I can never understand why you've got no C in Jack, but, you know, there must be some reason. Or, you know, contact us through Twitter. You can find out all the various
ways. And we'll try and put a story up. We might even put a story up asking for questions. But, yeah, we all have great.
Questions are good, you know, and we've got our regulars. So thank you, regulars. We look forward to hearing from you this season. And
hopefully we'll have some guests on as well.
Yeah, we'll always try and get a few guests on. We've had some good guests lately. I missed the Rory Fallon one, but that sounded a really good...
It was a great interview.
That was so. We've got a few ex-players that we can line up. And Michael Dunford, I've seen the new Argyle chief executive, is happy to come on. So... we'll have him as a guest early in the pre-season.
We'll happily take suggestions if anyone's got anyone they want to hear.
And let us know. So, you know, we like waffling away about Argyle and giving our respective insights. But, you know, the more contributions from you guys out there, the better.
And I'll dust off some new music for us to listen to on the car journey up to Walsall.
Good.
I'm sure we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, okay.
So make sure you join us again next week, and we'll be back looking forward to the Walsall game. Thank you.